Everyone, welcome back. You've just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan. But you knew that already. I'm pretty sure you did. We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through how? Chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. I actually want you to say that right now. I deserve to be successful. You know I love quotes. I often say this is a Set for Success quote time. So I love them so much. I'm always looking for a good quote to kick off the show. Sometimes to try to set the quote up for the show, other times for the guests. And mostly I think those quotes are just for you and me. Yeah, I got to sort of have them for myself too. So here's your quote for the day. It's like everyone tells a story about themselves inside their own head. Always, all the time. The story makes you who you are, what you are. We build ourselves out of that story. Let me try that again. We build ourselves out of that story. Now that particular quote is from Patrick Rothfuss. I believe that's how he pronounces his name. He is an American writer of epic fantasy. So maybe you know some of his work. It's Rothfuss is the author's last name. So here I have a confession for you. I have a story, a life story that I repeat in my head. Not only do I repeat it in my head, I speak it out loud, at home, when I'm alone, by myself. I think sometimes as a professional speaker, I guess you could say it's just a big part of a big life rehearsal. Always on stage in my own mind, always on stage in front of an audience, always having a story to tell. So where telling a story is so important, it's part of everyday life. Or when I prepare to tell my stories, it's part of everyday life. I provide this confession to you because I know that you have a story too. A story about your life, about your business you work in, about your career. Maybe you're happy and love what you do. Maybe you feel stuck and you don't know what to do. I was watching a Netflix show where a character stricken with heart disease said, "From the moment you are born, you begin to die. So make your life journey count." He was sharing his life lesson with a younger child. I thought, what a fascinating story, life lesson. He recognized the story of his life and wanting to make it count. I figured the lesson to be true. What is the point of existing in a business or a career if you just does not fit who you are as a person, where you are not living your true life story? What if you could move beyond and live your story, your life story, in a career or business that is truly who you are? What would you do to make that happen? So you can sort of figure out what we're probably going to talk about today and what we're going to do. As I thought about this show, I wondered how or who could I meet that could share their story, their work, their career, their life as a model of living your life story. I've been monitoring my guest, Carrie Wigg, on LinkedIn and YouTube for the last year or so. I'm guessing so, anyway. Her videos pop up and I have taken the time to watch some of them. With the emphasis on creating a story, getting the career you deserve, Carrie puts herself out into the world, creating the success she deserves in the journey to be set for success. Carrie, I'm glad that you're joining me with Set for Success today.
Ah, so good to be here.
It is. You know, Carrie, I always like to start off with a question. I hope you didn't mind my monologue a little bit. But you know what? Tell us a little bit about yourself. We'll start with a personal question first. Who is Carrie Twigg?
Oh, man. Well, I've been lots of things. But right now, Carrie Twigg is a career coach and a LinkedIn video creator. But the biggest thing that I do is I help people to find their story, hone their story, and then share it.
Okay. Find their story, hone their story, then share it. So let's step back from that because Carrie has a story and I want to know Carrie's story. So since you're part of a career coach side of things, let's start off with your career. Where did it all start? Way back when you first started working. Ta-da, Carrie.
So when I first started working, I started working in the arts. So I was at a theater school. That was my first job. And I think actually when people would come and sign up for acting classes, they would sign up their children. But even at 19, I would hear adults saying, "I'm going to sign up for this acting class because I've always wanted to do this." And they're like, "And now I'm 40 and I've never done it.
I've never done an acting class."
And I was like, why would you wait? Like at that time, like my 19-year-old brain was like, why would you wait 21 years to do something that you've always wanted to do?
Yeah.
And so the change I would see through people learning how to communicate about themselves, take on different characters, like the confident, they were completely different people after 20 weeks of acting class.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So that was a big change.
That was a big change. Yeah. So started in the arts, didn't make a lot of money in the arts, did a couple degrees. So did like a BA in theater and education. And an MEd. Worked various places. I worked here at CJOB. I was your receptionist. And then cried about money a lot and then made the decision to, like, well, what I would see is like people in suits that I thought I was just as smart as. And I didn't understand how they could be making a whole bunch of money. And here I was being creative and not. And so I chose the most human-friendly part of business, which was HR, and did a certificate. Managed to get a job in at an HR company doing career coaching. And then from there, you know, developed my own practice where I intertwined the stuff I did with story in the arts with HR and brought it together to be a career coach.
That's pretty cool that you're actually bringing it together. But didn't you, because I watch your videos, but didn't you have another career that maybe quite didn't fit your personality at one point in time?
I did, yeah. So in between there, yeah, in between there, I was I worked for the government. So I went into a corporation, was working as a career transition consultant, and it like so parts of it were really wonderful, but it wasn't a super great fit. And I thought, oh, I'll go back into like community arts, and I'll get this job with the province as like a policy analyst. I was very soon when I got there. You know, one thing that I kept on being told was that I wasn't a great writer, which really bothered me because I'm like, I'm a playwright. And I was also writing these posts on LinkedIn and on my blog that people were saying, oh, you're such a great writer. Your writing speaks to me. And I kept on getting put in like writing classes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And no. Go like, and yeah, just not really, it wasn't a great fit. And so, yeah, that helped me to go, okay, yeah, what am I going to do next?
You know, it's interesting that you would actually make that statement because from another perspective, on not being a great writer, I actually understand that.
Yeah.
Because I went through my career, people telling me the same thing. And what I've discovered is that there's different types of writing. So there's corporate writing, there's business writing, there's creative writing, nonfiction, fiction. There's various styles of writing for your different audiences, you know. And so writing for your audience is what makes you a great writer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and having that skill or capability. I'm sorry, I just had to throw that in.
Yeah. And that was writing for like ministers and advisory notes that were very technical.
Yes.
And I'm better at, you know, here's a quote and... you know, here's a really personal story. So yeah, that conversational.
It's that conversational writing, which is what basically works better on the internet.
Exactly.
I know all this stuff too, right? I got to share. You know what? Awesome. I think when we come back, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I think we should talk a little bit more about your career and then really what got you into what you're doing now. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Carrie Twigg. Not wig, twig, T-W-I-G-G. I guess during the introduction, I had it written down a certain way, and I read what was written down, and I do it just so naturally. I was calling it my teleprompter. What the notes say is what I go with. What do you think about that, Carrie?
Well, I didn't know if I could stop you or not, so I don't know who has the power here. So I was just like, well, maybe, you know, post, fix it in post, right?
Well, there you go. I don't know if it's the power. I think it's just a matter of the sharing. It's just like, oh, let's go, you know, two people having a coffee, you know, hanging out, getting to know one another. We were talking a little bit earlier on the other segment about your background and the journey that you took in your own career. Definitely having an arts background, the creative background individual you are. You've moved into the career, I'm going to call it the career coaching side. You correct how you want to call it. Tell me about that journey as to what you're doing right now.
So for career coaching, I started career coaching in at a corporation. And what was really great is that I was working in the arts, but I had, at the same time, I got really obsessed with writing resumes and what resumes look like and how I could make this, you know, 15 years working in the arts look like I had done more than just, you know, taught acting classes or taught, you know, kids are, because there are other things that I did do in there. So I read so many resume books that I was able to position myself as like an someone who really knew about HR and knew about training and development, and landed a job, a corporate job as a HR consultant. And part of that job was working just in outplacement. So have you seen like Out in the Air?
No, I haven't.
No, like the George Clooney movie where he fires people?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I was like a George Clooney. So for 3 years, I worked at a corporation. When people were being let go, I would coach the manager how to deliver the news, and then I would meet the person right after they had lost
it. Oh, yeah, okay.
And the company would pay for 1 to 3 months of career coaching. So I got trained by other coaches how to do this. And I did that for 3 years, but I kept on wanting to bring elements of storytelling, of meditation, of acting, like other pieces that I thought could help people. So a little bit more outside the box. And there wasn't a ton of room to do that. So I created really my own way of doing that. When I went to work in that government job and quickly learned that, you know, our life experiences build that story.
Yes.
I had always told myself the story that like I was made to be an employee. And when I was working that job, I started to write about the different things and the way I saw careers and stories. And I wrote about it mostly on LinkedIn, and it started to get attention. And people were like, oh, that's really neat. And they want to hire me. And so I slowly built this business, really, I feel, accidentally.
Okay.
Where then I had to change the story I was telling myself, which was like, oh, you're an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah. You right? can actually do this as a business. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. I was doing both of them at the same time for about 18 months. So I would, you know, do discovery calls during my lunch hour, go home, make dinner for my family, and then take on a client or two, coach them in the evening, be up till 1 in the morning writing resumes. And then I got about like a 2 month long waiting list to work with me. And then I was like, I think I have to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my last day of work was February 2nd. And then on February, just now.
Oh, just like, now, just last February.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
of this year. We'll keep the year out of it. But yeah.
And then on February 3rd, I wrote a post on LinkedIn that got 8.1 million views.
Get out of here.
So it was just like, and so at the government, they just say I went viral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You went viral.
So, yeah.
What was the post that you wrote that got 8.1 million views?
So that post was about I was up late because my father had just passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And so like you do when you're mourning, you're up at weird times. And I was on LinkedIn, which I'm a little obsessed with. And I saw a super racist post by one of my first connections. And I was like, who is this? Like, why is he talking this way? And then I noticed that, you know, we had like a bunch of common connections. So I wrote to them and said, like, he's writing this stuff. Do you agree? And I don't really want to have this in my network. And then I started to go through people in my network who I'd never talked to. And I deleted 500 contacts from LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I wrote a post. It was just like, I got rid of 500. Like, check your network. Who cares if you have a lot of contacts if they're not great people? And they, you know, like, yeah, if they're not great. And so social media is so much about like, I have
8 million, blah, blah, blah,
exactly,
blah, viewers.
Right? And, yeah. Like, I'm so good. So for me to be like, I don't care about the numbers because I care about the ethics of it, people couldn't believe it.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
And that was what got it. And that was, you wrote that. You didn't, that wasn't one of your videos.
No, I wrote it.
That was one of your, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to have to go search for that now.
Yeah.
Is it hooked up to your page? I
want
to go
read
it. It
is, yeah. And it got like 40,000 likes. Like it was like a big one.
So
and
people
so
are thinking it, but they're not taking action towards it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so it started this conversation. But mostly what I do, for my business, what I do for LinkedIn is just I tell stories, but I really encourage people to figure out what their own story is.
Yeah.
And then when I'm working individually, it's figuring it out and then how to tell it. And then so I can use all this stuff from teaching acting to help people prepare themselves for networking or interviews.
So that's a very creative way to actually approach it.
Yeah.
Wow. And all with LinkedIn. So why the obsession with LinkedIn? What is the key obsession there? Because you use that word, so I'm curious now.
Oh, my obsession. Yeah. So I think that I'm on it more than the average user.
Than like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, the other social media items.
Yeah. And it's the place where I've just built connections, right? Where because of the relationships that I've built, things have happened, right? Like I'm in a book. I get to go public speaking like all over the world. Like, you know, opportunities. opportunities come, and they come from really connecting. Whereas I feel like I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and those ones are a little bit like, but no one's really talking the way, or I haven't found the place where people are having those honest conversations.
Is the conversation, the honest conversation, more around career or work and LinkedIn, and maybe that's what it is more the professional side as opposed to the personal side?
I think so, because I think I really love to talk about business and careers, but I think we also, I dressed up like as somebody else on LinkedIn for Halloween, right?
Okay.
So it's not totally professional,
yeah.
Right? But I think there's just the depth of conversation that's happening.
Okay.
So the connections, but I'm very interested. And I don't think it always has the greatest content, but I think that there are people who I like the conversations that they're having. Yeah.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we will be right back. Hello, all. Welcome back. Hanging out with my new best friend, Carrie. She's even going to say that at some point in time. She's going to say, Richard, you're my new best friend.
You're totally my new best friend.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it when guests do that. thank you. You're fun. So during the break, we were talking about all sorts of very interesting things. I think I'm going to squeeze the it factor in here to that. But we're also talking about the whole idea of finding your story. How does somebody go about finding their story?
So the very best way that I know, and what has worked with me, and I tell all of my clients, it's the starting point, is get a pack of index cards, which are like a buck. Go and get a pack of index cards, and starting today and for the next 7 to 10 days, write down on an index card something that you're proud of doing in your career. So a time you left, work feeling really awesome, that you helped someone, it could be fixing the filing system, or it could be saving the company millions of dollars. But every day, just one story. Then after 7 to 10 days, lay out all of those cards and look for common themes and go, three of the times I was solving a problem. Oh, and this is about helping people, and this is about, creating a program. So that then that can become your story, right? So that you're no longer, I'm a banker, but you could say, I'm somebody who solves problems, helps people, and creates programs. And then that allows you to do your work anywhere, and then you know your story, because your title or where you've worked doesn't really matter. The work I do, I was the same, whether I'm in an acting class or a boardroom or on LinkedIn or here at the radio, it's all the same. I'm using the same skills and telling the same story.
It's all transferable.
Yeah.
That's what I hear you say. I mean, I know from my big corporate days we would talk about transferable skills. Well, this is transferable to something else.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you're taking it to that next level.
Right. Yeah. But then you have something to talk about, right? And then you have solid examples to back it up. Because you can't just snatch a brand, right? And go like, oh, I really want to be known as an innovator. If you don't have stories where you've been innovative, you can't call yourself an innovator, or you're going to know you're a fraud, that story you tell yourself. And you also, when people ask about it, you're just going to go, which is not innovative. So you can't, grab those pieces of a story from somewhere else. They have to come from work that you've done.
It makes a lot of sense, right? It has to be your own story. And like I always think, at one point in time, I was reading a lot of stuff on being authentic.
Oh.
And I thought, it's great stuff to read, but at some point in time, every word becomes a buzzword, right?
Yeah.
Are you an authentic person? I'm an authentic person. Well, if you just sort of know who yourself is, you'll be authentic.
Exactly.
It's like it's there. You don't need to be searching for it. Just sort of find it. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So who's the stories for?
Who are the stories for?
Yeah. During the break, I'm setting you up here a little bit. Hey, audience, I have these conversations with my guests during the break, and I say, let's talk about these little things. We're talking about the three stories that we all have. So I'm sorry, I just sort of threw that out.
Yeah, so I would say there's three stories that I think every career person, but especially every entrepreneur knows, which is the story we tell ourselves. So that's the, not telling yourself you're not like me. I was telling myself I was an entrepreneur.
Not an entrepreneur. No.
And that's not true, right?
Yeah.
So, telling yourself that story. The next one is the stories that we tell about our work and which ones are appropriate, which resonate, which don't, which have the awesome details that we can, just really dig into. And then the third one is, what is the story of your audience or the target company? Because if they're telling themselves a story about how awesome they are and you want to provide a solution to them, but you're not listening to what is going to resonate or what they want, then your story is going to really fall flat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it needs to be a story. Like, so I think it's those are the three that you really care about.
And can you provide an example of that, maybe in working with somebody, or do you have anything that you use as an example?
Well, I have this story. So I once went to a job interview at the corporation. And when I showed up, it was the fanciest place I've ever been, had a fountain on it. And she said, part of this job is doing a presentation. I'm going to go get a glass of water. And when I come back, I want you to do a presentation. Now, I had spent a lot of time doing presentations, but my mind blanked. And when she came back, I could only think of the presentation I'd done the day before.
Okay.
So I'm in a corporate boardroom with the VP of this area in an HR firm. And I stand up and I have a pencil in my hand and I mime this story. And I go, this is how you check a child's head for lice. And then I'm checking in for, acting out this whole thing, right? So that story, you may think is like, you would go, that's not an appropriate business story, right? But actually, that story got me more like public speaking gigs than anything and a lot of attention, because the story that my audience, like the people that I talk to, is that they need a story of overcoming things, of like thinking of their feet, a time that it worked out, and they need like an example of kind of bravery. So that may feel inappropriate
in a boardroom.
Yeah, but it actually is. Like, it worked for that interview, and then telling that story about a time, like, I could have ruined that interview and I didn't, will resonate with the people who would hire me to be a coach.
You popped in. You know, it's one of these things, it's thinking on your feet.
Yeah.
And use what you have. I have a similar story.
Okay.
Where I was asked to do a presentation. It was in a professional space, and everybody was getting up, and it was a group situation, right? And everybody was getting up. Doing these very mechanical type stories. When I say mechanical, I mean they were just like, and I got up and went, well, you know what? My dad taught me measure twice, cut once. So this is how he cut a piece of wood. And I did a presentation on how to cut a piece of wood. And that was the lesson learned, right? Measure twice, measure twice, cut once.
Yeah.
So the idea, if you think about it, like you're not going to cut in the wrong place. You're going to be more successful. You thought it through. Like there's just so many lessons learned from the simple things.
Yeah.
And I use that sometimes when I'm talking about strategic planning too. Right? Why should I do strategic planning? Well, you measure twice. Cut once.
Yeah. You also have a thing that's so important in story, which is if you can choose those stories that you tell that have something visual.
Yes.
Right? So we're immediately going, oh, wood, and we're thinking about that time we did cut something wrong, right?
Yeah.
So then, if you can put those sticky bits, and it lights up more parts of the brain. So the person listening, they remember you. Right? And you may always be the wood guy, but that doesn't matter. It's better than being like any of those other robotic guys.
I think from now on, I'm going to think about you whenever I think about lice.
Yeah. Perfect.
You know, but interesting thing though, you brought me to a time when my youngest boy, he came home from daycare and we got a phone call saying, well, we found a kid with lice.
Oh.
And so in our family, we end up shaving all our heads.
Yeah.
So
really?
Yeah, we went all the way. I went out to Walmart and bought the clippers and everything.
Yeah.
And so that was a time I had hair.
Yeah.
And I was sporting the no hair look.
Right, yeah.
And I, yeah. Life just sort of worked out that way. But very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. We also had the opportunity to talk about the it factor a little bit. So here we're going to have a little bit of fun with this, hope. What is the it factor to you?
Well, the it factor, I think, is when you meet somebody you meet someone and you're so attracted to what they say, or they have a kind of energy that you're drawn to.
Okay.
Right? For me, that's the it. And no matter what they're talking about. So they could be talking about wood, right?
Sure, sure.
Because I think you have it, right?
Oh, like, well, thank you. That's very kind.
I'm like, so whatever they have to say, or you just want to be around them because they feel like a possible force and they feel like somebody who's breaking the rules and that you can learn from.
I love breaking rules.
Okay.
So that's actually why I don't have a corporate job.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hey, listen, I don't mind those businesses out there. I just want to let you know, but I also know where I fit. It's been a long journey. You know what we have to do? We have to take a short break.
Okay.
And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Carrie Twigg, about some of her journeys, her business, her successes, and hey, what you can do to be set for success. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I am hanging out with Carrie Twigg today. She keeps messing with me during the breaks. Like, you know, you should hear what happens while we actually have commercials going and the news is on and you guys are listening to the weather report. But Carrie, you're just an awesome person.
Thank you.
You know what? During the break, we were talking about a number of different topics. I know that just before it, we were talking about the it factor and what it meant. And I suggested to you that you're somebody who wears your brand. So I'd like to talk a little bit about brand with you, because you said, you sort of said you're an accidental entrepreneur.
Yes.
So did you sort of pre-think the way you would actually, you know, show yourself and your social media, your business and everything, or was it just sort of organically evolved?
I think it organically evolved. So one really conscious choice I made is that when I looked up other career coaches, you often found someone in a blazer, right? With their arms crossed, looking right at the camera or pointing at you. And I just went, I wouldn't want to get coaching advice from that person. Okay. And I went, who would I want to get coaching advice? And I go, someone who's on the level, who doesn't make me feel silly for what I've done, and who has had an exciting career, has some kind of wisdom. And I also thought, if I'm going to create my own business, then I can't create it like a job. Like, I can't create it like, well, it can be a job, but not like a job I hate.
Yeah, okay.
And the biggest worry was people hiring me. And then if I laughed or cried or told a joke while on a coaching call, that they would be surprised. And I'm like, no, I need them to know what they're going to get so that I don't ever have to be scared to take a call.
So you don't have to be somebody that you're not.
Exactly.
That's what I hear, because yeah. Ultimately I hear your true happiness is coming from being who you are.
Exactly.
So you offer a lot of different programs and everything in your business. So mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that your company actually does.
So I usually do one-to-one coaching. And so those might be from a month to 3 months. A lot of them are about finding your story, like looking at your current brand and usually your career brand, how to tell your story, and then how to deciding what that is, and then how to tell that on your resume. So I write resumes for people, interview preparation, and then networking and how you show up on LinkedIn. So that's usually through a one-to-one program.
The one-to-one type program. Yeah. So when we talk about that, you have different programs that you offer. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah.
I'm being so formal on you right now.
So super formal. Yeah. So my most popular one is called Stories and Strategy. And that's really like, figure out your story, let's get a resume, and then there's a coaching call. I have another one that's called Deep Search, and it just goes a little bit deeper than that. And then I have something called the Career Intensive. So I felt like I was having the same coaching conversation with people over and over, right? And so I'd go, oh, do this worksheet, do this thing, here's what you need to do, and then we'll talk. And then I thought, well, for people who don't need their handheld, people who are like, I want to find a new job, I'm having a little bit of trouble, but I need a little bit of help, put them in this program. And so it's an 8-week self-guided program, but there's coaching call, one coaching call with me, a resume review, and then bi-weekly group calls. And they're the most fun, right?
Okay.
'Cause the people that choose to work with me are amazing, right?
So let's sort of go here. Who's attracted to you in terms of clients? Like, what type of clients are attracted to you? Let me just add that in. I believe that when you're independent professional, that's really how it works. You know, a certain group of people are attracted to you. So who are those people?
So mostly creative directors, art directors, a lot in New York City and Sweden are my biggest clientele. Higher level folks, a couple of CEOs who are just the other stuff doesn't work. I don't want to look dry just because I have this title doesn't mean I'm not interesting. I want to show, the true me. And then also a lot of therapists or people who won't admit they're entrepreneurs.
People that won't admit they're entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so they're like, I'm unhappy. And then we talk about the kind of work they want and they kind of describe running their own business.
That sort of back dream that a lot of people have, but they're, for whatever reason, their life circumstances or their personal concerns, because there's well, running your own business requires a certain amount of, yeah, you will land on your feet.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I actually understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that oh so well. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing it?
The best way, I think, would be through my email address or through my website. So it's career-stories.com or Kerri, K-E-R-R-I, at career-stories.com.
Awesome. What does the future hold for you?
Oh, well, I think I'll be doing, I feel like the more I'm doing this and the more people know me, I'm getting way more speaking gigs than I am. And, you know, I'm working on the book.
Yeah.
So that's the thing to do, right?
So tell me about the book.
Well, I'm writing a book about finding your career story.
Okay.
So, you know, four different chapters with a bunch of exercises in there. And then hopefully the book will then, you know, be the foundation for some cards and some workshops. And I think, and then I think eventually training other people in the method that I use.
That your approach and everything along that lines. You're going to inject your personality.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to find certain people, right? But I think... Also, if I could have like a calmer version of me and if I could find an even more intense, like different levels, but with the same common values, then I would have an awesome team.
So speaking of all of that, I think there are many things when you talk about being set for success. I want you to think about your life. What is something in your life that you're extremely proud of? Wow, I get silence.
Total silence. Well, because I don't give myself credit for anything.
Okay, okay.
Right? Like, I think that's a big thing. So I would say business-wise, I got voted as like number one career coach to follow on LinkedIn by JobScan, which is a UK company.
Okay.
And that was like really impressive. For me, just being... I think being an adult is impressive, right? Like I had a really not great childhood, right? Yeah. I was kicked out of an entire school division for violence. Like there's lots of things that if I had held on to the old story of being like a victim or letting those things hold me back from overcoming things, that I would be different. And people would go, oh, like that would be okay. But I chose not to, right?
Okay.
And so I'm impressed that I can even like make money
on
my own.
Yes.
Being myself is like... Just that's bonkers successful to me.
That's bonkers successful to you. Then I do actually wish you a lot of bonkers success in the future. we'll use that. Maybe I'll even create a little award for you.
Yeah.
Your bonkers success award. You should use that.
It's the highest level of success, right? There's success and then bonkers. Like you can't believe it.
That would be sort of an awesome. You should consider doing that. Maybe you could use that for your own clientele. Yeah. It would be just absolutely awesome. You know what? What a show we've been having. You're a fun guest, you know, very honest, very authentic. I do believe you wear your brand and you are who you are, which is, I truly do appreciate it. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what might it be?
My final thought would be, don't be afraid to share your story. That people don't know how they can help you or what you're available for if you're not talking about it. So just start to share that and weave it into the conversations.
You know, that's actually a good piece of advice because I suspect based on your work and just based on what I know working with clients over a 30-year period is that I think people act the way they think they're supposed to act and they're supposed to look as opposed to just being who they are. And I always find the most successful people are just who they are with a sense of ethics and all of that fun
stuff.
They're just all around good people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're in with that and you're agreement with that, eh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for hanging out with me today.
Thanks for having me.
It's Kerri Twigg. And what's the name of the company?
Career Stories.
Career Stories. So Kerri Twigg, Career Stories, joined me today. I really appreciate hanging out with you. And for my audience, well, you know the deal. I really appreciate it when you tune in. If you got a question, a thought, an idea, email me at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And you can go and remember what I'm going to ask you to do. It's a big thing to remember. I want you to remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.